explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Sabatini.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
You're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
Living the dream and taking you with us. It's 101.3 ESPN, and we are Sports Saturday. Good morning. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join this conversation. 802-655-6672. Aaron is he's a future like Pauly D, you know, DJ. He's going to be all over. He just loves pumping the beats. That's just how he rolls. Bernie, you've been out for 3 whole weeks, brother. Good to see you again.
Great to be back, man.
We were off last week. We had a little vacay last week as you and I were both unable. We were both on assignment. We'll definitely talk about that a little bit later.
Your assignment sounded like more fun than mine.
It was definitely fun. It was exhausting, and we'll get into that after. Like I said, 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation today on Sports Saturday. Or you can text us on the text line, the Town Fair Tire text line, at 802-655-6672.
Jeff, quick question for you before we get started.
Sure.
It's been 3 weeks, and I've missed.
Have you missed me?
I was going to say I've missed.
You have not seen me in 3 weeks.
I've missed our banter.
Yeah. Okay. Miss me.
I always miss you.
Okay.
I don't want to put that on here.
Because I've missed you.
So how are you going to start me?
What are you talking about?
After being gone for 3 weeks, how are you going to start?
What does that mean? How
the show? How are we going to start the show?
Oh, we're going to talk some Yankees.
Yeah, what a shock!
That's how we roll.
Here we go.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've been able to talk. I've been putting Red Sox writers on here and Celtic writers on forever. We're going to talk some Yankees, and we're going to lead it off. We're doing like the Ricky Henderson of all leadoff hitters right now. That's what we're doing. And we have him.
And that's pretty good.
Aaron's got him. All right. On the TikTok Jewelers guest line, we're going to start this show off right. We've got the Bergen Records Yankee beat writer Pete Caldera joins us. Good morning, Pete. Thanks for getting up early for us today.
No, anytime. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Hey, so last night, Yankees with another big win. I think the biggest story of last night, though, is the pitching performance of Sonny Gray, who has really been, you know, I guess average would be a good word for him. What did the Yankees take from his start last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were pretty happy that, he kind of righted the ship after, a bit of a shaky first inning, giving up a homer to Machado, a couple of line drive, another ball that, probably should have been a hit that Gleyber Torres saved in the hole, and then he just, he got the curveball going. He was, I think the communication he has with Austin Romine behind the plate, the stuff they talk about between innings, what's working, what's not working, how do we, go about attacking the lineup this way with what's really working for Sonny Gray has helped. I think he's got the confidence, obviously, to throw those breaking balls in situations with runners on base, more often and with more confidence and conviction with Romine back there than Sanchez. So, it was a good night.
Pete, talk a little bit about this team. I mean, they really are red hot. I mean, if it wasn't for a bunch of rainouts, they might have the best record in baseball. They are now 2 games up in the loss column on Boston, who is equally as talented and as good. But to me, this Yankee team hasn't even hit its stride yet. When you look at what Gary Sanchez is hitting, when you look at what Didi Gregorius had one of the worst Mays in the history of his career. Stanton hasn't quite been Stanton yet. Judge has been obviously spectacular, and the kids have played well. But this team and the pitching staff, for the exception of Severino, hasn't been great. I mean, how do you credit what this team has done so far without having those stars being at the top of their game?
Yeah, I think it's a credit to the talent they have, the depth of their lineup certainly now. You can have Stanton kind of going in and out of the clouds and not getting optimum performance, you know, as you said, from some of their, you know, really key guys, and still produce offensively the way they have. And certainly, you know, Judge has had an all-star year from top to bottom. He's, you know, there's no question, you know, the superstar he's become. You know, and Gardner still grinds out at bats, yeah. and they've got production from the bottom of that order with Andujar and now Gleyber Torres. So you have certainly, you know, it's a hard lineup to navigate 1 through 9, even when you know, two or three elements of that lineup isn't firing on all cylinders. The bullpen's been outstanding again this year, and they're getting just enough out of their starting pitching. But obviously, that's going to be the area that you worry about or you look to improve as you move towards the deadline.
Pete, you know, you look at the American League and you got the Yankees and the Red Sox, Houston. What about Seattle? Are they someone, are they going to be able to sustain what they're doing, playing up over 600 baseball at after the quarter turn here?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The Yankees haven't seen them yet. They will pretty soon. You know, how they, you know, keep this up without a big piece in their lineup, Robinson Cano, for the next few weeks. That's going to be interesting in itself too. You know, you wondered if at one point if the Mariners were going to be perhaps dealers at the deadline. Now you think that they'll have enough to keep it rolling. But that division is tough when you consider Houston. That is a team that that's an elite team, obviously, with the Red Sox and the Yankees. So this American League is certainly a tougher league than the National League. And when you consider the other part of this thing too, if you just look at it from the AL East standpoint, one of these teams, the Red Sox, the Yankees, they're going to have to fight for their lives in a one game playoff too. The way it's setting up in a wild card, so. That in itself is an interesting element to all this, too.
We are talking to the Bergen Records Yankee beat writer Pete Caldera here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Pete, the Yankees have a ton of youth, and they need some pitching. I mean, it's hard to question what Cashman's going to do, but, I mean, do you see them moving any major pieces in terms of some of their youth for say, a Cole Hamels, who obviously is going to be available to them by the trade deadline?
I don't think it would take a major piece of their prospect, their depth to get a guy like Hamels, but he's certainly going to be a guy that's going to be a lot of teams' radars, come the deadline here. And, I don't see them moving a guy like Justice Sheffield, maybe. They would have to deal from their surplus, and that's really the outfield. Although, at this point, I wouldn't give away, say, a Clint Frazier in a deal like that. I think he's much more valuable and could get you a younger pitcher with more years attached to him. Maybe not at this deadline, but certainly down the line. But I think you got to look to the things that they have in excess. Tyler Austin could perhaps be a guy that could be attractive in a deal because he seems to be blocked right now. And you wonder if he's about to be sent down, pretty soon because Greg Bird's back here. It's going to be tough to get some at bats. So, I think a left-hander in Yankee Stadium is always something you'd really look to have. I think a guy like Cole Hamels would be an ideal guy to go after.
We're talking about some of the kids, and Frazier obviously is one of those guys. But another guy that was brought in here to be the starting third baseman is Brandon Drury, and right now he's a third baseman for the Scranton Wilkes-Barre team, the AAA team. As Miguel Andujar kind of fell in for him when he went on the injured reserve, but Miguel Andujar has been so spectacular that they haven't moved him. What do you see the Yankees doing with Drury?
Well, he's locked up. He's under their control for 4 years now. So I would think that. They're going to hold on to that depth. There's no reason to move him at this point, unless you get overwhelmed in a trade request or something like that. And I think you have to have, players that that in Brian Cashman's turn of phrase, you can plug and play when something happens at the big league level, injury, what have you. I don't see Jury going anywhere. And I think really that they would like to see, you know, sort of an extended time for him to just play and make sure he's beyond what the difficulties he had with the migraines and the blurred vision. Make sure, you know, there's an extended period that you know, he's playing and he's feeling as good as they hope he can. So, you know, I don't see that there's any real rush to do anything with Jury other than keep him where he is and then you know, maybe something happens down the line.
Aaron Boone being the new manager here, a young manager, no experience. There's a lot of concern, I think, for Yankee fans coming in, and obviously with what Joe Girardi did with the Yankees. But as you've watched him, and I mean being a, you know, watching him on television, watching some of his press conferences, you can see the confidence is growing in him. Do you see his philosophy and his mentality being a benefit to the Yankees and maybe helping them surge out the way they have the first part of the season?
You know, you can see when you're around Boone daily, what the Yankees really liked in him, not only from his initial interviews, but in their talks leading up to bringing him in, and then giving him the you know, essentially the stewardship of this team that was already an American League pennant contender when he walked in the door. Yes, there's a calmness about him. There's a confidence about him. There's a you know, in some ways, an egoless way about him, where it's truly and solely about the players and his coaches, and just like the way he handles a room and manages a team. Very impressive for a guy who walked in at age 44, 45 now, that had never managed on any pro level. You know, it's almost like laboratories. You look at a guy and you figure that he looks like he's been here for a few years. I think that's the sense you get with Aaron Boone.
So real quick, you've seen them play the Red Sox a couple times, and obviously these teams have been compared all season. Right now on paper, who's the better baseball team?
You know, I like the Red Sox going in, and it was mostly because of their starting pitching, and that the Yankees would have to go you know, somewhere at the trade deadline to bolster that. But it's really close, and for different reasons. I mean, obviously different lineups, different structures, different organizations, different ballparks, the whole thing. It's really what makes it interesting. But, you know, the Yankees are an impressive team. They can their lineup is just so hard to navigate through. But, you know, maybe I'll still give it to the Red Sox, but it's not that margin of difference is not very great. This is going to be a fun summer coming down the stretch.
Pete Caldera, Bergen Wrecker, thanks so much for your time, buddy.
Anytime.
All right, have a great day. Interesting conversation from a guy that's in the front lines of the Yankees. It's been an amazing year for both teams, the Yankees and the Red Sox. But the Yankees are just surging right now. And truth be told, some of these guys haven't hit their stride yet.
No, no question. And I guess my question, you know, to you as a Yankee fan is: this team is 36-17. Playing .680 baseball. Why do you need to change anything?
Well,
I mean, you have so much depth, you have so much talent, you have great contracts. Why?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple reasons. I think number one, when you look at what the Yankees are doing with their pitching staff, with the exception of Severino, there's been problems. I think Masahiro Tanaka's had up and down days. CeCe Sabathia, the last three or four starts, has not been very good. And obviously, we know CeCe's a little bit long in the tooth. Sonny Gray has been downright horrible, to be very blunt with you. Until last night. And again, he's had a couple good starts, but very inconsistent. And again, we're talking about, the Yankees aren't talking about just being good this year. They're trying to win a championship. And like Pete brought up, one of these teams, the Yankees or the Red Sox, and both these teams could win over 100 games, is going to be in a fight for their life for one game to get themselves into the AL, you know, divisional series. So you're trying to get over that step, and in order to do that, you've got to have some pitching, and that's what the Red Sox have right now over the Yankees, is they've got guys. And again, I know they're not pitching great
Chris Sale, the last two outings
hasn't been great.
Has been Sonny Gray-ish
totally
until last night.
Well, I mean, let's not go nuts here. Sonny Gray has been very average here.
I mean,
and Chris,
I've, okay, but, so after but last night's performance, would yeah. you? I mean.
Okay. Who are we talking about? Sale?
Well, I'm saying Sale struggled the last two times.
Yeah.
And Sonny Gray looked like a Cy Young candidate after the first inning last night.
Oh, after the first inning last night he did. Yeah, I mean, look, I think the Red Sox on paper, when everything's right, when you see guys like Sale and Price and Porcello and Pomerantz is a good pitcher.
He stinks right now.
Who stinks? Right
Pomerantz.
Now. Right now he may stink.
Okay.
But what I'm saying to you is, but overall,
how is that different than...
I would 100% take the, I mean, again, and I'm a big Yankee fan, for the exception of Severino, because I think Severino is an absolute budding star, I would take the Red Sox rotation over the Yankee rotation in a heartbeat, just based on their track record and what you expect out of them, and because they're still relatively young. When you look at the Yankee rotation, they're not relatively young, they're injury prone, and they're not, you know, and like a guy like Sonny Gray has never pitched in the big market in New York, and he's struggled so far, so that's why you're looking for one more pitcher. That's just me, man. I'm just telling you.
Man, glass half empty, LeBron hater, welcome back.
Oh, my God. 3 weeks away and you're already in me. See, you're just trying to see. Now you're just trying to start a fight.
And it's working.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
What is going on with that fan base down there?
And Bernie Siplicki.
Can you not hear me?
I can't hear you too well. I can kind of hear something.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
To just be clear on that little, what do you call those things when you come back? Those little highlights.
It's a return.
Oh, return. Like, that's your fault. That whole situation there with whoever we were interviewing and they couldn't hear me.
Oh, I know.
Mean, that was your fault.
The joke's on me.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Because I feel like you're kind of mocking me with that one.
No, I mock you in other returns.
Okay.
I mock me in some.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, because that's all Aaron. I'm just saying. That was not my fault. But part of it is I don't know what, I would be afraid to touch any of the buttons over there. That's like flying the Enterprise to me. If you could see what Aaron's doing over there with all the gauges and buttons and things are lit up and they're not lit up. I mean, you know, your hands on the pulse of everything here, buddy. A lot of pressure there.
I know.
Yeah, okay. You're a man of few words, too. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation. 802-655-6672. Remember, you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line, and you know the song. Town Fair Tire.
Bow.
Right, Burn?
Yes.
I love that song.
Yes.
655-6672.
I see that on the Red Sox on Nesson all the time.
The Town Fair Tire.
For the Red
Sox. Yeah. There you go.
One of the only commercial jingles I can stand.
I love that song. I kind of bob my head to it in the car when I hear it in the car. I like it.
Not happy with you, by the way.
Well, what else is new?
You know, you go see the Yankees play.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to get to that.
No, I'm jumping right now.
Oh, okay, it's fine.
Because it kind of just dawned on me.
So last week I went to a Yankee game.
Right.
With a group of friends. Yeah. It was a great trip.
Okay. So
yeah.
Come on. You were number 20 on the list.
Right, of course. But I was
on the list.
That's right. So I was number 20 on a list of like 18 people.
Right.
Or maybe I just showed up, one or the other. That may have just happened. Hey, guys.
Hey,
everybody.
Anybody going to the Bronx?
Hey, it just happens I'm here too.
Oh, okay. So now you go.
Yeah.
And... whether you're not going to believe this, but it is wholeheartedly true.
Yes.
My favorite, like, baseball player is Judgey.
Yeah, he's the man.
I love that guy.
Yeah. All rise. Here comes the judge.
I wanted a wig.
You wanted a wig. If I had any idea
that
you wanted a wig. Well, I'll tell you a great story about my trip. So the reason that I was out last week is I had an opportunity to go down to Yankee Stadium.
We were off last week. It was Memorial Day.
Memorial Day, too. But normally we would work Memorial Day in honor of the servicemen and women that have lost their lives.
Fair enough. I think
it's important to be on the air for, you know, that's one of my favorite holidays. And I wasn't missing it because I was a holiday. I was missing it because, you know, I had a chance to go to the game because of judge. And you obviously are a very busy man and you had playoffs and all that stuff going on. But if you love Aaron Judge, you're going to love this story. So listen, let me just tell you this. First of all, if you're ever going to go down to New York, don't drive anymore. You can fly down there for like $112 round trip. Is that insane? To drive from here to New York City is going to cost you at least $200 between if you're going to park and you're going to spend the night, you get at a hotel, it costs you like $100 to park it at the hotel usually. You know, everything that you got to do on the way down, gas, you might as well just fly down.
What time was the game?
The game was at 7:15.
What did you get the midnight flight?
No, I flew home on Sunday morning. The game was Saturday. But we took the Saturday morning flight. We thought this was a good idea and we booked this. So there's like 15 of us and we booked the flight for 5:55 in the morning.
Oh my God.
So we were in the city. It's like a half a second flight.
Right.
You go up, you go down. And we were in the city by like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
It was like, and you know, when you get
you to got 12 city, hours till the game?
Oh yeah. We knew we had a lot to do. So there was a lot. We'll get to that. Yeah, there's a lot of walking. there's a little bit of day beer drinking, which is something I don't do very often. So, you know, it was kind of a rough day, but saw a lot of things and tried a lot of New York pizza because I'm always trying to compare, you know, Romanto's and everything else in the city. You know what I mean?
So did you write this off as a business expense?
No.
Okay.
No. Probably should have. My wife's listening to me like, why don't you do that next time you can write it off? But I did go to famous Ray's Pizza in Times Square. There's a bunch of famous Ray's in the city. That's one of the best in New York City. And it's pretty good. You know, not too bad. I'm very into the barstool sports. You ever watch that? You know, ever followed bar? But anyway,
come on, man.
Well, I think the president or whatever does these pizza reviews. You know, one bite, everybody knows the rules. All right, Frankie. Yeah. Like, you know, that guy? I love that guy. So I've been watching those. So I was trying to, like, mark some spots down. And obviously, when you're in the city for 12 hours, you can only hit a couple of them. But we did do that. But let's get to the Yankee game. So there's like 15 of us that went.
What time did you able to get in the stadium?
You can go in about 2 hours before. We went in about, I think I got there at like first pitch. We got in there by like first pitch. But what we did was we bought the Yankee pad, the pinstripe pass. So the Yankee Stadium now has these two outdoor patios, okay, out in center field. And you can just, you pay, I think they're $20. You get one free cocktail. And you get, it's like hanging out like with all your friends. You know, you're not sitting in a seat. Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't like sitting. Hate it. Even you go out and you spend all this money on these seats, and it's like after like three innings, you're like, I'm just going to go walk around.
Right.
You know, so we just did this. Well, anyway, first inning comes up, zero. The Yankees, I think, were down 1-0 or whatever it was. Here comes Brett Gardner. Boom. Home run. Place is going crazy. So there we are standing. Here comes our boy.
Now, where is the location of this place?
That we were at.
Right.
So there's two of them. So if you're looking at Yankee Stadium, let's say from
home plate.
From home plate. You're looking straight in the Yankee center field.
I'm in the batter's box.
Exactly. And you need to see the black in the back. That's an indoor club bar. On the outsides, there's a red hot bar and another, like a Nissan or Toyota bar. And basically, it's just an outdoor patio.
Okay.
Everyone's just hanging out. It's a really nice place. It's fun. So anyway, we're standing there talking. And
at which one?
I think we were on the, so if you're at home plate and you're looking at the black, we're on the right hand side.
You're on the right. Okay. So right. Right center. Okay.
So we're like probably about 500 feet away from home plate.
Okay.
And here comes our boy, Aaron Judge. And I take an empty cup and I put my hand up like this. Come on, Judge, hit it right here. Well, next pitch, here it comes. Right at us. Okay. Right at us. Maybe a little to the right. All of a sudden, it comes up and it hits some cement and skips through people and hits my buddy right in the side of the stomach.
Ooh.
Right in the side of the stomach. Boom. Bounces off about 25 feet from me. And then it, all hell just breaks loose. People are jumping. People's drinks are flying. Shoes come off. Sandals come off. People are just freaking out.
Tins are being thrown.
Big time. And all of a sudden, one man picks his hand up with the ball. He got it. And that ball was, I think that ball ended up being like, he's the fastest player to get to 70 home runs or something, whatever the number is. He's the fastest, and he owns that ball. I got to hold it, which is nice.
How'd you get to hold it?
Well, I was like, can we see that for a minute? And he goes, I'm not getting, letting you see. You're going to take off with it. I said, come on. What do you think? I'm going to run away with it? I'm not going to run away with it. So I got to see the ball. But
was this person in your group?
No, he was not. But okay. Another person in our group, actually Steve Ruger, our friend that's come filled on the show once in a while, it was between him. If you know Steve Ruger, he's not a small guy.
Right.
So when you look at the two gentlemen that were going head-to-head for the ball, you think, oh, Steve's going to win.
Yeah, so how does he not get that?
Well, the guy was much more agile. I mean, I don't know. I mean, just the guy got the ball. But the friend of mine that got hit, you know very well because he's one of your coaches.
Uh-huh.
Your golf coach at Colchester and your women's hockey coach at Colchester, Jamie Rossi, and the owner of Rossi's Lakeshore Tavern in Colchester, took the ball square off the side of the stomach and then had a big baseball mark on the side of his stomach, which I thought was pretty cool. Aaron Judge didn't want to sign it, but that's what happened. So it was really neat. Obviously, very, very neat. You know, and the cool part was it was on national television. And when they showed the replay that night, there we all were. Like everybody's on. We're all on TV.
When was this game?
Last Saturday night, Yanks lost 11-4. Typical. I go to a game, they lose. I've been to two games this year, they lose. Sonny Gray, by the way, pitched both those games.
Can you go again, please?
No, I'm not going again the rest of the year. Not a chance. But anyway, so yeah, it was a great trip. Had a great time. And the city's a great city. I mean, New York City is...
And you stayed over.
Spent the night. The Roosevelt Hotel. Very famous hotel. Been some movies there, I guess. From what I hear.
Okay.
So then we get back after the game is over. There's a couple fun spots to hang out at Yankee Stadium afterwards. We went those places. Then we took an Uber back. And right around the corner is a place called Uncle Paul's Pizza. Can you believe it? Like my last name. It's like meant to be. So I went in there, bought a bunch of slices of pizza. We all just sat in the entryway of the hotel and ate some New York pizza. What a day. Can't beat that with a
and
stick.
Then, and then took a 5 o'clock flight
nope,
home.
10 o'clock flight home. Okay, maybe 11 o'clock flight home. Yeah. It was pouring rain out. And I'll tell you what, I've flown into Burlington many times, but very rarely have I come in during the day over the lake and then over through downtown Burlington.
Beautiful, isn't
beautiful.
It?
And it was marathon day last Sunday when I flew in. So it was like, you know, it was neat to be able to see down there. It was beautiful flight in. So we had a great day. So my trip was definitely fun. I feel like I was preparing for the show, you know, because I was doing sports things.
Yeah.
You know, very important, you know, for the show. So I was doing that. And you, my friend, have been, you know, spring sports in it. I mean,
here we go.
Double dipping.
Yeah, all over the place, winding down. Good end of the regular season and just an exciting time. You know, the state track meet is today.
Big day.
Down at Burlington is hosting Division One. South Burlington is hosting Division Two. I think Green Mountain is hosting Division Three. Yesterday was Division Four. Just so much exciting time. Conclusions of quarterfinals today and next week is semifinals and finals in the New England track meet. And lo and behold, graduation, and we've wrapped up another school year.
Boy, it goes by fast, doesn't it?
Ugh.
And the spring sports season, you and I have talked in how many times we sat in these seats and it's been, you know, you're trying to get your teams because you're the AD at Colchester, your team's on the field and there's 5 feet of snow out there and it's 25 below zero. And then within weeks, we're talking about now we're into the playoffs and we are, and we had a really good show today, guys. And at 11 o'clock, excuse me, we have CVU's baseball coach, Tim Albertson, joining us. If you don't know what's going on with them, CVU's the number one team in the state, one loss all season. They're getting ready today at 4 o'clock to play St. Jay up there at CVU. And obviously Storm Rushford, the cancer patient that they have on the team who is recovering. He's getting better. He's starting to get some at-bats. He's played a little bit in the field. He's pitched in a rehab game. So he's coming back. What an unbelievable story that is. We're going to talk to Tim at 11:02. And I know we just talked the Yankees. You know, and Bernie gets so upset with me, as my friends do when I talk New York, because they think all I want to do is talk New York. And that might be right. We are talking Sox with our good friend from the Athletic, Sox beat writer Jen McCaffrey at 11:20.
Well, and maybe this time, you know, Jen will be able to hear you through the whole conversation.
Yeah. I mean, if Aaron doesn't just turn it off, it's so embarrassing. You know, here I am giving all these questions. She couldn't hear anything I was saying.
Well, maybe she was lucky.
Good.
Yeah. Now, you weren't at the game when Saquon Barkley threw out the first pitch, were you?
No, I was not at that game. Okay. By the way, did you see that?
It was terrible.
Why can't you throw a baseball?
I don't care. If he can run and catch, it's all
the
best.
And by the way, have you seen the size of his legs?
My goodness
is right. His legs are like, he's going to be unbelievable.
He looks like Earl Campbell.
He does. He's going to be, this team's going to be, I'm so excited about this team, except for the quarterback.
I hate to say, I was going to say, other than right tackle, I just got to own it. It's all on that guy this year.
It is. I mean, if they protect Eli Manning, it's going to be all on him. But man, I wasn't at that game, but I was disappointed in my man's pitch. I mean, it was like he kind of aimed it. He kind of threw the floater in there.
You got to believe he's got to be nervous. Everybody's there hooting and hollering for him.
You are the number. What is he? He's Saquon Barkley. You're one of the best athletes in the country. You're a starting running back for the New York Football Giants. You can't throw a baseball? I mean, come on. But it's not the worst I've seen. I mean, there have definitely been a lot worse, but come on, buddy. I mean, just, you know, can you just get to the glove? I mean, did you ever play?
It was
baseball?
Close.
No, it wasn't. Of course, Gary Sanchez couldn't pick it for him either, which wasn't very nice.
Well, you got a lousy catcher.
I know, he just can't catch. That's a good point. He hits, but he can't even hit right now either. But he can't block anything. We know that.
What you don't want is to be the guy throwing the first pitch and try to throw a rocket ball as an athlete in another sport and have it sail like 10 feet over the catcher's head.
Why?
And just like. Because,
let me just tell you something.
At least you're on target.
Do yourself a favor in YouTube, 50 Cent at the Mets game, what 50 Cent did. And also Google Howard Stern's producer, what's his name, Baba Booey. Look up what he did at a Mets game. Okay, well, you're going to let me tell you right now, Barkley's going to look like Cy Young compared to those guys.
But I'm saying if you're Saquon and you just throw gas and it sails, who cares?
Exactly.
Or, look at how fast that was. When Chapman throws over 100 and it's way outside.
You throw people out of third base.
Exactly.
That's how hard he throws. That would be good. That's unbelievable.
I'm watching 50 Cent.
That's what I mean. I'm telling you. And now watch Baba Booey's. It gets Saquon Barkley was all right. Man, so spring sports we talked about now, it's really starting to roll. We're going to talk to Tim Albertson, Bernie, but one of the things that I noticed when I was looking at all these is how strong baseball is this season. A lot of teams can win it. I mean, CVU's had the best season so far with the one loss, but there's a lot of quality teams in Division I.
Yeah,
right now.
I mean, one semifinal is set. Number two, Brattleboro, who has one loss and it's out of state this year, will be hosting Colchester.
And under the radar team, by the way, Colchester.
You know, doing what they need to do. They lost three games this year, two early on. One to Essex, who almost beat Brattleboro yesterday. One to CVU in one of those games where it was supposed to be at CVU, but because of field conditions, we switched over and played at Colchester. And then, you know, Mount Mansfield, beat Colchester during the season. So those two. And then, you know, the other semifinal is CVU St. J. winner against South Burlington. And CVU's only loss this year is against
South Burlington. So it's going to be something. And obviously,
it's gonna be fun.
And softball's going crazy. We got a lot of good teams there. We know what track and field's happening. There's lacrosse.
Lacrosse is rolling.
I mean, it really,
tennis.
You know, I'll tell you,
great.
Do yourself a favor, guys. The weather's perfect. It's beautiful out. Go, if you're in an area that's got a team that's still around, go watch these games.
Yep.
Especially these games. I mean, we all love basketball. We love football, soccer, all the sports. But there's something about watching a baseball, lacrosse, or softball game, or a track field event. Go out there
tennis
and
match.
Move these kids on.
It's
tennis match as well. It's good stuff. How about you playing tennis? You ever played a little tennis, bro?
I love to play tennis.
I know your favorite. I know your favorite athlete of all time is
Serena Williams.
Serena Williams. She starts in what, a half an hour?
She started five minutes ago.
Oh, five minutes ago.
I got to see the cat suit. Meow.
Oh my God. I end it right there. We're going to talk some NBA playoffs. Now you got me all discombobulated.
How about the championship?
NBA finals when we come back.
The greatest of all time.
Be quiet.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
But they score points, Burn. Like, they're still scoring a lot of points.
Yeah, that's fine.
And to me, in the NBA, if you can score enough points, you can beat anybody.
And Bernie Siplicki.
Well, if you score enough points in any game, you're going to win.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
If J.R. Smith could have scored just one more point, the Cleveland Cavaliers would be up one game to nothing. And you got to give the Cleveland Cavaliers a lot of credit.
Whoa,
I know that. Here we go. See, this is my point with you.
Okay.
Like, I'm about to eat a little crow here. I'm about to sit here and eat a big bowl of, you know, like,
wrong. No, you can't say Cleveland Cavaliers. You got to get a little more specific.
No, I'll get to that, too.
Okay.
But I think that they're more than just, him. I think those players really have stepped up, and you got to give them credit. I got to give Cleveland credit.
Who stepped up in game one?
Not in game one. I'm talking about to get them to this point. I mean, LeBron's carried them, but the role players for Cleveland haven't been great the whole playoff, but certain guys in big games have stepped up to make big shots at big moments.
That's fair.
I would say that Korver's shot, the one that against Boston, the
Jeff
turnaround.
Yep.
I mean, there are some huge shots that were made in key games that they had to win. Got to give them credit. You know, and again, like I said, two weeks ago,
how much credit you got to give LeBron?
A lot. I think you got to give LeBron a ton of credit. And I've been taking a lot of abuse around town because I have been saying how much I think LeBron James is one of the greatest players ever to play. I'm never going to deny that. He's a great player. My argument is who's greater, Michael or LeBron? And I will always be a Michael guy, and I will defend it till the end. I don't care if he ends up winning this world championship. I'm still going to say Michael's the greatest.
If LeBron wins this world championship this year, you really...
Michael. Still Michael. It's a different NBA.
Yes, you're right.
It's a different NBA. If Michael was in this NBA, he would have scored a billion points. He would have won. And I would also say that if he didn't go play baseball, that really ruined, that kind of hurt what he could have really done. Because I think he would have won 10 championships if he didn't go to baseball.
Yeah, but.
I mean, I guess my point to
you. Because I'm saying he won three, left, came back, and won three more.
Right.
And that to me.
It's amazing.
Right. That kind of...
Well, there you go.
Right.
But I'm just talking about but the comparisons that come with LeBron, and we do this every time. I start to try to take this down a different path, but we go Michael versus LeBron. But let's make the point.
Well, but it's that simple right
but the
now.
But the comparisons come down to numbers. Like, okay, LeBron's going to get X amount of championship. If Michael didn't go play baseball, you know, he potentially could have had nine... They could have won nine championships, maybe more. Maybe he... You know, who knows what could have happened? Maybe he won.
Right.
But who would have known? I mean, what he did just coming back from baseball.
Or he could have lost one or two.
Of course.
Right.
But chances are he wouldn't have. That's just not in his DNA.
You can't say chances are.
Well, but he didn't lose the three.
Chances are he could have won nine. Chances are he could have been 6-3.
I get it. But the teams that won the championships those 3 years he was gone, Michael, those teams weren't beating the Bulls teams with Michael. It just wasn't happening. But again, I'm just, it's my opinion or other people's opinions. That's what it is. It's all opinion based. But
dude had 51-8-8.
He's amazing. I mean, LeBron, look. Again, let me just reiterate. I would say that LeBron James is one of the greatest players ever to play. He could be he's on NBA's Mount Rushmore. I mean, he's one of the greats of all time.
Would you give him 1A versus 2? You got Michael at 1.
And then LeBron after that.
At 1A.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Sure, I could see that. I wouldn't have a problem
with
that.
So he's inching closer.
He's not getting anywhere near Mike. But what I'm saying to you is that I can see it. I mean, I can see it. But again, the NBA is so different now. The style of play is different. They don't defend the way they do. They're not as physical as they used to be. You can't play physical. You think LeBron James? Think about this for a minute. If LeBron James played in the era of the bad boys in Detroit,
he's the baddest of them all. He's the biggest, strongest, most agile.
And because of that, and the new rules that they have in the NBA, the new defensive rules, and the way that they're not allowed to, you can't do anything. His strength is he's unstoppable. If you put him back in 86, 87, 88.
He's still unstoppable.
He probably would be, but it'd be a hell of a lot harder for him.
It would be because his jumper wasn't as good at that time as Michael's, but he's just so strong.
Agreed.
He's so physical.
Agreed.
I mean, he's going to the rim, and guys are bouncing off him like they're mosquitoes. And
I agree.
These dudes are like 6'7", 6'8".
I agree, but you can't defend him. You have to defend him you have to be physical with him, and you can't do that. I mean, the whole game is different. It's fine. I mean, it's okay, and the reason, you know why they did it. They did it essentially because they were so concerned about, points weren't being scored, and people, here we go, people get in a room again and say, there's not enough points being scored in the NBA, so we got to be tougher on defense. I mean,
hey, but it is fun, though, watching this game.
I thought it was a lot more fun back in the day than it is now. To be honest with you.
Really?
I really do. I think there were better teams back then. I think there were more great teams back then.
There's better and more teams because of expansion.
Okay.
Now. And so the league could be considered watered down. I also think the league is... I don't know if it
Well, a lot of
more one-on-one.
It is. There's a lot of younger players coming
in
now.
And that's part of it, too. Sure. I mean...
And you might be right there.
You know, a lot of 19, 20-year-olds, everybody's a freshman who's getting drafted,
right.
So it's hard.
But again, I'm just saying, to me, the NBA in the late 80s, mid-90s, even early 2000s,
right.
was just more compelling to me.
Yes.
Exactly. And again, but again, to get back to it, you got to give Cleveland a ton of credit, and you have to give LeBron a ton of credit. What he's been able to do, this whole NBA playoff is spectacular. I mean, there's nothing you can say about it. Going into this playoff with the East, I really thought the East was back. I thought that Indiana was a great team. I thought Cleveland was a good, I thought they were definitely a competitive team. I thought Boston was great. I thought Philadelphia was awesome.
I think Toronto was great. There was a hot or not that asked about Cleveland, and I think I said, yeah, they were going to get to the finals. We'll have to go back and look at that.
With Cleveland was going to go to the finals?
Yes.
I was probably like, nah, no way. But I mean, listen, you got to give them credit. But again, my point was going into this playoff, I thought the East was starting to show signs that it was about to be the dominant force in the NBA. I really did.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's going to be. I think next year and the year after, you're going to see that. I think you're going to see, obviously, Boston healthy is going to be intensely good. Wherever LeBron goes next, because that's what we do. He packs his bags up when he feels like the team is done and goes somewhere else. So wherever team he goes, they'll be great.
So you think he's out?
I mean, I don't know. That's how he rolls. I mean, who knows? Probably.
So when a baseball player bounces around or an NFL player bounces around in free agency, that's okay. But LeBron, because that's how he rolls?
Well, in other sports, that's much more about management, and the NBA is the most player-driven league, so when a player walks away in the NBA, it's considered much more on the player than on management than other sports. Like, when Randy Moss left the Patriots, that was largely his fault because he was having issues, but people didn't really say that. People were more like, what is Bill doing getting rid of a Hall of Famer?
First of all, let me just say this. Randy Moss and LeBron James aren't on the same wavelength. LeBron James is one of the elite athletes to ever play the game. Randy Moss, let me just make my point. When we talk about LeBron James, we talk about LeBron James, we talk about Michael Jordan, we talk about Babe Ruth, we talk about Ted Williams, we talk about
Jerry Rice and Randy Moss are the two best wide receivers ever in the NFL.
And Randy Moss is the most athletic wide receiver to ever play in the NFL.
I would say that Randy Moss may have had some of the greatest talent, but how can you put him up with some of the names that have been so spectacular and have won championships?
Because statistically, he's number two behind Jerry Rice and most things, and number one in everything else.
You're talking about an NFL. Oh, see, now you got me going down this road. We'll take this care of a minute. LeBron James is one of those athletes that should never leave where he's drafted. He should have been in Cleveland. He should have stayed in Cleveland and built it there. That's the kind of athlete he is.
He did.
No, he didn't. He got to a point where what do you mean he did?
He got them to the finals. He built it.
And then he left.
So?
That's my point. That's where it was just like, he was just like Michael. I mean, he really was. He came to a city that was starving for a championship, built it, got to a final.
And then he left.
And then he decides to leave.
And then Michael left. Michael left to go play baseball.
Michael left after winning three championships in Chicago. Michael left after establishing himself in Chicago. Michael left in the middle of his career after he's won three championships
LeBron,
in Chicago.
LeBron left in the middle of his career after bringing the Cavaliers to the finals a couple of times and never getting enough help to get over the hump like Chicago did.
Well,
and
Chicago, it took Chicago a long time to get over the hump with Detroit, didn't it?
Exactly.
Okay, so Mike...
Because management did a better job putting people around him.
Well, obviously the management did a decent job putting people around him the second time he came back to Cleveland. So
yeah, that's because who was managing it?
What does that mean?
LeBron was making all these moves.
Oh, there you go, of course. And that's another reason that LeBron drives me crazy, because it's like LeBron's show. They don't even care about what's going on with the coaching staff or the general managers. But again, to me, LeBron is one of those athletes that should never be bouncing around. That's just the way I can't imagine. Like, when LeBron James goes to the NBA,
so when Aaron Judge leaves the Yankees, you're going to be devastated.
He'll never leave the Yankees. I'm just telling you. But if that
day happens.
And we're like screaming on the air here, and I hope this doesn't sound bad on the radio, but to me, Aaron Judge is nowhere near the athlete that LeBron James is. And I understand Randy Moss's athleticism. I get that. And you can argue he's one of the best, but when you think about championships and what he's meant to organizations, like, that's not Randy Moss. We have a lot of great athletes in our world, but we only have a handful of elite people that change the whole dynamics of the way the game is played. And LeBron James is one of those guys. And to think that when LeBron James goes into the Hall of Fame, what jersey is he going to wear? Think about that for 1 second, that LeBron James, when he goes in, there's going to be an argument from Heat fans, he should wear a Heat uniform. There's going to be an argument from Cleveland, he should wear a Cleveland uniform. And if he goes to Philadelphia or L.A. and wins two or three championships there, there'll be arguments there.
That's why he's going to wear his high school jersey.
There you go, right there. again, Bernie, you mic drop again from Bernie Siflicki.
But that's why, and okay, we'll go back to the whole point of game one.
Yeah, because at this point, you guys should be expecting gift baskets from J.R.,
for letting
him off the hook for this full segment.
But JR,
wow,
one play does not a game make. Make a free throw. Get the call on the missed free throw for Draymond Green being in the lane earlier. Don't reverse the charge call. At halftime, instead of trying to make a steal, don't go for the steal. There are so many things that led up to a huge blunder, and I'm not going to let him off the hook for not being a... time and score, lack of awareness, but there was so much other stuff.
Oh, I'm not making the one play argument right now. I'm saying that's a career defining play. That's the top of the mountain right there.
Well, I will say this. I mean, everything you're saying is right. When you watch any game, you can say, in the second quarter, there was a travel that shouldn't have happened, or in the second quarter, we missed a layup, or this guy missed it. You can always say that, but to not know the situation at that moment, to understand that
is unexcusable.
I mean,
yes.
So I guess my understanding is, so when he had the ball,
should it have gotten to that point?
But it doesn't matter. At that moment right there, when you have the ball in your hand,
you got to know what's going on.
And you have the hand ball, and this shot that goes that I put up here is going to give us, you need to know that. How do you not know that? How are you that arrogant to not know that?
Is it arrogant or aloof?
I think it's hand in hand. If you're that aloof, then you're arrogant. At that moment in time, against that team, Golden State, who's supposed to be the super team, they're the number one seed. You are going on the road. You are not expected. There are arguments out there that said, what's a better opportunity that this game thing goes six or it's a sweep for Golden State? That's how far apart people believe these teams are. Cleveland has an opportunity to go on the road in game one and get this thing done, and you don't know what's happening when that ball leaves your fans? Come on, JR.
But doesn't his history precede that?
Probably. I mean, his history may precede that, but I don't care what your history precedes. I don't care if you're aloof. I don't care if you're arrogant. If you are an underdog player and you were on the free throw line to win the first round of an NBA championship against the best team in the world,
just make a free throw.
Yeah,
it's a free throw. Just please make a free throw.
Bernie Siplicki would have made that free throw.
How many of those is George Hill shooting on the line before this game too, just to get himself prepared? Because that was bad.
Why? Because he missed.
Yeah,
that's hard.
He missed in clutch time, and it was not like it wasn't like an in and out or like a off the edge of the.
Don't turn the charge call over. Make the right plays down. It doesn't matter. Cavs got cheated, but we'll come back.
Bernie Siplicki, sports psychologist. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Want to hear something weird? It's out in left field on Sports Saturday, only on 101.3 ESPN.
You know, I miss these little segments are out in left field. So I missed it last week, Bernie.
But you're the king of it.
I am. I'm usually out in left field.
Well, thinking that.
In Little League, I was out in left field. I can tell you that, baby.
Thinking that LeBron's not the greatest of all time, but anyways.
You're annoying.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good to be, all right, back. Good to be back with you.
Yeah. All right, Aaron, what do we got today?
All right. Out in left field, of course, the weirdest news we could find. In Bend, Oregon, one Bend resident set on becoming the city's first elected mayor has an ambitious policy platform, eliminating cars, stopping all new construction, and enforcing strong leashes. He's a newcomer to the political scene, but he is well known in some circles of town through his work with small businesses. He's also a lifelong Bend resident who started his political career out of frustration with city policies. One more thing, he's a cat. Leonardo F. Bend.
A cat.
He's a cat. He is a cat. Leonardo F. Bend, age 5 1/2, works as a greeter at Bright Place Gallery, which has become a de facto campaign headquarters, replete with buttons and other swag for his supporters. The gallery's owners, whose names I will not attempt to read, speak for him while he lounges nearby with a red bow tie. Of course, they know he can't officially run for president, or mayor. President, next step.
Right. One step at a time.
Can't run for mayor. Their efforts are part political and political commentary, part publicity stunt, part fundraising. They want to raise money for animal welfare organization. Leonard's reason is that the humans have made a mockery of the political process.
There we go. Well, there's a cat running for mayor. What's the cat's name again?
Leonardo F. Bend, or Leonard Leonardo for short. Bend.
So Leonardo Bend's running for mayor in Oregon Burn. Cat. Kitty cat. You a cat guy?
No.
I'm not a cat guy. See, to me, I think cats...
The only cat thing I like...
You like is it... Yeah.
The cats.
The outfit. Yeah, I get it. But, you know, I gotta tell you, the thing about cats are, I feel like they're always trying to kill you. Like, I mean, you know? In fact, I didn't realize, I never understood that they purred. I remember we had some friends in Florida that had cats, and I was in bed one morning, I woke up, and it was on my chest, and it was like going... So I looked at my wife, and I was like, Monica, this cat's growling at me.
No, it's purring.
Well, hey, that's what I didn't realize.
I do not trust cats. I'm with
me either.
Cats are evil.
And maybe because when I saw the movie
Lady...
Well,
it's because they have 9 lives, so they don't care.
They don't. And I think they just want you out. Like, I mean, I think that when I saw Lady and the Tramp when I was like 6 years old, those Siamese cats, I think they scarred me. You remember that movie? Did you ever see that cartoon? You know, the Siamese cats, and they were always trying to, like, you know, they didn't like...
They were messing with you.
Yeah, always, you know? And they were so jerky about it. So I think that may be my problem with the kitty cat.
I was going to ask how this cat, like, did the paperwork for...
Everybody's got their own sign, man. You just put the paw in the...
Well, but, you know, they say that they know Leonardo can't officially run for mayor. So
right.
That
kind of
took away.
You know, he's giving a shot. Give it a shot, though.
He'll still get votes.
Of course he will. And Leonardo, probably a nice cat. By the way, another thing about cats, it's unbelievable, is that... So, you know, they go to the bathroom in the cat box, the kitty litter box. And I was house-sitting once. I have all these goofy stories. I'm sorry, but I have to say it. And the friend of mine that I was house sitting for, I've never had a cat, never cleaned the kitty litter box, so I had to do that. Monica did it. She had to come over and help me because I was gagging. But anyway, we put the new kitty litter in the thing, and as soon as you put the new cat litter into these boxes, they come from all over the city. Yeah. I mean, I said, geez, I didn't realize this. My friend had so many cats. They were coming from outside. It was like, you know, it was like they just opened up. It was like free Supliki sandwiches downtown all day, like lines of people. Just coming to get into this cat box. Never seen anything like it.
Yeah. Well, can I move off of news from the weird for a sec?
Yeah, what's up?
You know.
That is pretty weird, though.
We're talking about how this year has been probably one of the worst years for officials and NBA players.
Yeah.
Doesn't the last minute or last 2 minutes of that game one of the NBA championship kind of sum it all up?
It does. I think it does.
With so many missed calls and so many changes and... So much nonsense, and then the overtime just...
In the NBA, when you think about NBA officiating, when things get sketchy with that, that's when you start thinking...
I'm so into the conspiracy on it.
Who isn't? It's a good conspiracy. It's fun. All right. You ready to do your sports? And by the way, let's give you some props. This is 2 weeks... Well, we skipped a week, but this is 2 weeks in a row you're doing these live. No taping.
I'm a man of my word. I said I'd stop taping them. I stopped taping them.
I'm impressed. All right, buddy. Here we go.
We got 45 more seconds. So.
45 more seconds. You're nervous to go a little 45 second early? You can't have a little early?
Well,
you
don't want
to
do a little bit early? Well, I figured we could fill it. There is another animal mayor. There is a dog that's been elected multiple times, elected and reelected for mayor of Cormorant, Minnesota.
Done. I'm in with that. Dogs are the best. I mean, I always trust a dog. They're loyal. They care about you no matter what kind of mood you're in. They're never upset. They just, you know, they just want a little bit of food, a little bit of water, so I can imagine taxes would be low because I don't want much. I'm in for a dog being mayor. A cat's high maintenance. A dog, low maintenance. I'm just saying. I'm all in for dog for mayor. Cat, I'm out.
My girlfriend would agree. I'm ready for Spoiler Center now. You ready?
Oh, as long as you're ready.
All right, let's do it.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
You got to change up that remote though. You still got Ortiz and Jeter in there. They've been out for like 9 years now.
And Bernie Siplicki.
Derek who?
Oh, stop it.
Take it easy now.
Bite your tongue.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
We're back here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Great Sports Center again, Aaron. Well done on that. Hey, listen, if you've been following high school sports lately, there's a great story happening in CVU right now in Hinesburg at CVU Union, Champlain Valley Union High School. The number one seeded Red Hawks are rolling. They are in the quarterfinals today at 4 o'clock at CVU against St. Johnsbury. And we've got the head coach of the Red Hawks right now here on the TikTok Heroes guest line, Coach Tim Albertson. Good morning, Tim. How you doing, buddy?
Morning. Good. How are you?
Hey, listen, before we get into your team, and obviously what an amazing year you've had, and you guys are preparing for a huge game today against St. Jay, but let's talk about the best story, I think, of the year, or probably the most heartwarming story of the year, which is your player, Storm Rushford, and his battle with cancer.
Yeah. What would you like to talk about?
Obviously, what a role model he's got to be for the players on the team. Obviously, being able to coach a kid like this that's had to work so hard and is fighting through such a horrible disease, I just can't think of a more motivating factor for your team than Storm.
Well, I mean, he's a very resilient, humble kid. He's been working really hard. The guys have supported him all the way through. You're right. He adds another perspective to his teammates, to his opponents. It just kind of opens up your eyes and says, you know, look, there's bigger things to life than this game. And I think the guys recognize that, and they go and they just have fun playing the game, and they know that Storm's there every step of the way. He's in uniform. He's gotten into a couple games, which has been nice. Gotten a couple at bats and.
Yeah.
And actually got on the mound once on the varsity and once on the JV level, which was great because he was the one that kind of promoted himself for a rehab, or a so-called rehab start. So it was pretty fun to be a part of. It was motivating for the guys. They loved seeing him on the field. You can see the focus and the enjoyment of the game every time he gets an opportunity to play.
And obviously, when you see an athlete like this, and obviously an elite baseball player before this terrible prognosis, but obviously coming back and getting himself healthy again, it's got to be motivating, like I said earlier, for your players. Have you seen a different work ethic from your players because of the story of Storm?
I would say so, but I mean, I think that they've always taken the game for what it is and played the game right. But I think, you know, when they get a chance and they see him taking ground balls and being able to do things, you start to see a little bit more sense of excitement that, you know, hey, this guy's on his way back. We're going to get another added piece back to our roster and our lineup soon, you know, and I think that's kind of the case for him. They're just extremely supportive of him. And he's been extremely supportive of them. So it's been really pretty awesome to be a part of.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been awesome to follow as well, Coach, because I know Austin Danforth wrote the Free Press sports writer, Austin Danforth, wrote the great article about him, and it's been fun rooting for you guys. So let's talk about the game today. St. Johnsbury comes to town, and a team that obviously has a winning tradition. I mean, they're a team that's over 500 coming on the road, playing the number one seed, so there really is nothing to lose for them. What are you telling your kids today, and what can you expect from the Hilltoppers?
I'm telling my guys, we got to keep doing what we've been doing all year. You know, we got to make the routine plays. We got to take care of the baseball. We got to get the ball in play at the plate as often as possible so we can try and create something or give ourselves the best chance for success. And as pitchers, you know, looking at our offense or our defense, you know, we, again, making the routine plays, but our pitchers just coming in, throwing strikes, trusting your guys behind you and letting them know that, you know, I'm going to do my part, you guys do yours, and just giving themselves the best chance for success.
In a very, it seems a very competitive Division I this year. You guys stood out above the rest as the number one seed. Talk about the depth of Division I this year.
You know, it's been pretty incredible because when you start looking at it, you know, when you're looking at a team like Essex who had to get walked off on yesterday by Bratt, they were an extremely dangerous team. Offensively, probably one of the better teams in the state, for sure. But they, you look at them, you look at a team like Brad, who's got two really good pitchers, and once their bats get going, they get hot. And they're very extremely dangerous. You look at Colchester, who's kind of just kind of been one of those teams that nobody's really talked about much, but they got quite the pitching staff, and they've got quite a nice punch at the top of their lineup with Visosky and those guys. So it's they got a nice team. And then South Burlington, being senior heavy, part of that group that went to regionals in Little League, you know, those guys they're a great team too. So it's been pretty interesting just to kind of see, and it's been nice to play a lot of those teams twice. You look at Rice has two very good pitchers with McDermott and Guyette. You know, so they're going to keep themselves in low-scoring games. But if they do, they're dangerous, and they can come back at you. But looking at the
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, just looking at the teams that are, you know, you look at a team like St. Johnsbury, you know, they got the Moran kid, they got the Wells kid, who's very good, the Schwanier kid, the senior Jake Schwanier, who's got a very nice bat, and you know, Jasper Rankin, who's been hitting the ball over the place as an outfielder, who's very quick and hits for power. St. Johnsbury is, you know, a very tough team going in.
So, you know, one of the challenges in being a spring sports coach is it seems as if it gets later and later now for you to get on the field. And this year was no different with winter hanging on as long as it has. What have been the challenges for you, Coach, going through this, especially early in the season with your team?
I think obviously keeping the motivation up and giving them to understand, getting your players to understand that, you know, each day we got to come in and work on something different. We got to make ourselves better. It's one of the big things that we talk about day in and day out is that every day we got to improve. If we're not improving, we're going backwards. So knowing that, you know, we're going to be inside, you go in, you say, okay, here's our focus for today. Let's get it done in the hour and a half that we have. And, you know, pitchers, let's start working on different situations pitching-wise, looking at sequences. Catchers working on coming out, blocking balls, getting into throwing position, being ready for those things. And then infield-wise, just trying to be as sound as possible and looking about getting behind the ball, getting through the ball. As outfielders, making sure we're working through the ball from behind so that we can make quick throws. It's just being able to set up a practice where they can be competitive with themselves and continue to work on the fundamentals so that when we get outside, we can work on the bigger things.
And then
like bigger situations.
And then the biggest challenge, I think, has got to be once the games get going, and obviously, you know, like, you know, when you start having a string of good weather, you start having two, three, and maybe it's sometimes four games a week. How do you take care of your athletes, especially their arms, during that time of year?
Well, I mean, a lot of it comes from what they do themselves in the off season, strength-wise, but the other part is, you know, just minimizing some things. You know, we don't have to play long toss every day, so the guys going out and playing a quick catch and just getting the arm loose isn't going to hurt them. You know, getting them to understand, look, we're going to play four games this week. We have these 2 days off. It may end up being, you know, I think at one point we played three games in a row. And you just kind of tell them, look, we'll get through this stretch. We'll have a day off, you know, and we'll get back to it, but let's ease up. If something's sore, let me know. We'll just make sure that we're not overdoing it during pregame or during regular practice. Just giving them a chance to recover, because that's the hardest thing. They're not used to this, and all of a sudden you're in a grind from being inside up until the middle of April to playing four games the first week of the season. You know, so it's one of those that you just kind of tell them how to take care of themselves, make sure they're conditioning themselves right, make sure they're doing the proper things, making sure of their arm care, making sure they're taking care of their legs so they don't get any pulled hamstrings, because you go from a 45-degree day to an 85, back down to, you know, 55.
Yeah. We are talking to the head coach of the number one-ranked CVU Redhawks, head coach Tim Albertson, here on Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN. I know you got to get ready for your game, Coach. We won't keep you much longer, but I do have a question. Baseball in the state of Vermont, where do you feel it's at right now?
I think we're in a decent place. I think, you know, we still got kids playing. We still got kids coming out. I think you've definitely got some really good athletes that are out there. You know, and I think the game is continuing to grow itself. You know, it's tough when you got game sports like lacrosse and things like that are out there. But if, you know, and overall, I just think that our state's doing a decent job of getting kids prepared. And I think there's some opportunities out there for kids to be seen and kind of get themselves out into a bigger light. You know, when you got a kid like Bigelow who's going to UConn, you know, and you just got the Allard kid who just pitched really well, and Messier who were out over in SNU, who just played in the we're in the top four in the World Series for Division II. You know, it's pretty impressive when you start seeing that. We have a lot of kids like that that just need to, that hopefully we can get a little bit more exposure.
Do you think that the game, like sports like lacrosse, because of, I guess, you know, I guess baseball gets such a bad rap. I get so upset. I'm a huge baseball fan, coach, so I'm on baseball side. But, you know, I get so sick and tired of people telling me that baseball's too slow and it's boring and there's not enough interest in it. You know, when you, and when you watch, there's so many little league teams and kids are playing baseball at a young age. Do you find that maybe it's starting to turn a little bit now with all the bad news about, you know, about football with concussions, that parents are kind of hesitant now? Do you find that maybe that might be happening now in the spring side and we'll see some more kids try out playing baseball?
I mean, I think there's some odds and ends to it, but I think when you start looking at it, you know, you can only carry so many people on each roster. You know what I mean? So at some point, lacrosse is going to have, you know, there's going to start being some more cuts, and you're going to start to find some of those kids that were pretty good baseball players that were younger that realized that they're, maybe their strengths aren't in lacrosse or other sports. You're starting to find a lot of the football players and baseball players that realize they want to go do track because it's a good sport for them to do, which you can only encourage them to do. You know, I mean, the bigger part is kids are playing and doing stuff. Looking at the baseball side of it, I think when kids start enjoying it and start playing the game the right way, hustling on and off the field, and you control the pace of the game, things get easier. You kind of lose that pace when kids are getting walked, errors are happening, things aren't happening too often. But if you teach the kids the things the right way, like hustling on and off the field, or you teach your pitchers how to throw strikes and realize that it's not always about striking people out, that, you know, letting your fielders do the work and make plays, you know, now you're starting to have fun with everybody. And I think just if we can continue to work on those fundamental skills at the younger level and as they get into the bigger field, I think we'll start keeping more of those kids. The game gets more exciting once you leave Little League because you can do more. You can start stealing. You start taking leads. Pitchers can start throwing over and trying to pick people off. And the game actually gets more exciting and more creative, more strategic. But fundamentally, I think if we can start continue to teach those fundamentals, I think you'll start to see more kids that enjoy the game more.
Coach, good luck today. Good luck with your championship run. We're rooting for you, and please tell Storm we're thinking about him, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks for everything.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day. It's the head coach of CVU Baseball, Tim Alberts, in the number one seeded Red Hawks right here on Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN. So, yeah, there it was, interview. We taped that this morning. Pretty good segue there, I thought. Aaron did a pretty good job on the board. But interesting conversation with Coach Albertson, Tim Albertson, CVU's boys, obviously the baseball coach, number one seeded team. Big game today against St. Jay. And we all know the story of Storm Rushford. I think that, to me, is more important than any game, obviously, what this poor young man has gone through. But, you know, to me, I mean, it's almost a success story as well because he's battling it and he's back on the field. And he's, you know, he's gotten, I mean, as Coach said, he's had some at-bats. He's pitched. He's been in a couple rehab starts. So it's been a kind of a nice story watching him overcome, you know, something that nobody should ever have to overcome, but he's overcoming it. And what a role model he is for all his teammates and any kid watching sports right now.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic story. And you know, forget all the weather issues, forget all the other stuff. This is what it's about. And, you know, he's using baseball as something to help him as well. And just so that it's coming all together is just so, you know, so special.
It is. And, you know, it's we when you were out one of those days, Austin Danforth fills in for you when you're not here a lot, and he had just written an article about Storm, which was just beautifully written. I mean, Austin's a good friend of ours, and we say a lot of nice things about Austin, but Austin Danforth is one of the finest writers the state has to offer, and Burlington has him. And he wrote a beautiful article about Storm and his story and his family, and you know, it gets you excited about what he's been able to overcome and what he's doing. You know, and I think he gives hope to a lot of other people that may be battling the same terrible disease. That you can overcome it, and you just got to fight. And what Storm's doing is very special. We're rooting for CVU. I do have some questions for you, being an athletic director of a high school. Spring sports is got to be give you a headache when it gets to be around March or April, because depending on how the weather is, it really determines what's going to happen here with all these kids that are trying to get on the field. You know, I mean, that's just reality. And this year specifically, I mean, and again, I'm sure there have been winters that have been a little bit more difficult, Bernie, but this year it's been intensely difficult. What's your take on spring sports, and how can you fix that problem?
Wow, that's a...
that loaded for
2 minutes?
Yeah,
that's a loaded for bear question. I think that the big problem to initially begin with is getting outside to start. you know, everybody is in the gym.
Right.
And you go from, okay, hey, guess what? We're going to be in the gym, and guess now tomorrow you're going to go play. So right. you get off to a really slow start. That stinks from that end standpoint. And then you get all the AAU people who want gym time that right. can't get gym time. That. So that's a whole nother.
This is a Bernie problem, not a spring sports problem.
But
he would have the open drawings like, and let me tell you something else that I don't like.
But now what happens on the back end is now this time of year, today's an SAT date.
Right.
You've got the state track meet. You've got all these games that push back to 4 o'clock. And now you have all these other things, honors banquets
sure.
and awards nights and all this stuff. That it's just a scheduling nightmare.
And we are up against the clock, and I can't get you coming.
Good.
But obviously also with the game, like baseball and softball, so many games back to back to back. Just the athletes' arms, you know, even fielding athletes. So tough time of year. These coaches are great coaches,
but
obviously.
They always find a way to get through it, which
they
is
do.
The amazing thing.
That is amazing. And with everything that's gone on this winter, we're talking about everything happening today. So, all right, take a quick break. When we come back, it's time for some Red Sox
Finally.
Baseball. Bernie wants to talk about his Bo Sox with our good friend from The Athletic, Jen McCaffrey. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
Jeffrey.
And Bernie Siplicki.
Bernie.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
I mean, this is a great country because there's a guy somewhere.
This is a great background.
That is getting paid money to sing songs about people's names. Big money to do that.
Those have got to go. Even though I've never.
Please.
I felt like it was your mom, Jeffrey.
He spells him out later in the song too. Bernie.
Oh my god! I gotta hear that. No. I gotta hear that.
No.
First of all,
I want more of that background music.
Let me just say this. I'm going. I want to try to find that Bernie song for my.
Ain't nothing but a gangsta party.
Oh my god, you too. There it is. Get it.
This is a great song.
So Aaron, remember, you have a guest you got to call. I just don't know if you remember that or not.
Oh.
Yeah, see what happens. You start doing this. You start playing
man.
The tunes, and Aaron starts becoming Pauly D from
Jersey
Shore.
You don't want to talk about the Red Sox anyway.
Of course I want to talk about the Red Sox. What are you talking
about?
They're
the third best team in the American League.
Oh, please. You are the worst. Bernie.
They're the third best team in the American League.
Is a sandbagger. You are.
Yankees. Houston, Boston.
Come on.
Period.
First of all, on paper right now, as we're waiting for Jen McCaffrey, we're waiting for Aaron to do his job once in a while. So over here.
Man. I'm going to give him a pass for that beat.
Because
that
of the beat.
That beat was solid. Okay. That beat was
all
solid.
Right. Yeah, whatever. I thought the Bernie was much more solid than that.
No,
anyway,
Jeffrey.
We're waiting for Jen McCaffrey to join us. But on paper, this Red Sox team, I think you have to like them. And I think you have to like Houston, too. I think Houston's another team. That starting rotation is insane for Houston. Insane. Their bullpen is terrible.
And you're talking about sandbag, and you don't even bring up your Yankees.
My Yankees are right there, too.
Oh,
we got some work to do. All right. On the TikTok Dudes guest line, we are going to talk about Bernie's Bo Sox. I'm all in for that song. In fact, that's going to be my ringtone for you when you call my phone.
I'm never calling you again.
From The Athletic, Jen McCaffrey is joining us live here on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Jen.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good to talk to you. Okay, Jen, here's what we're going to start with, okay? Every time Jerry Remy is not able to do a Red Sox game on Nesson, I'm begging that they give you the opportunity. Because who they're putting up there with Dave O'Brien, my goodness gracious, Jennifer. I mean, come on. What is Nesson doing?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. They have some interesting filling choices, so I guess I'll leave it at that, but yeah.
I am all in for Jen McCaffrey.
So what do we have to do to advocate for her?
Whatever we have to do. Yeah, what can I do? What can we do here in Burlington, Vermont to make this happen for you?
Yeah, well, maybe we can make like an online petition.
Okay, I'm all in for that. I would love to get you up there. My goodness. All right, let's talk about the Red Sox. Obviously, having an amazing start to their season, but now they are down in Houston, lost two games in a row. It's second game in a row for Chris Sale, not pitching like what we expect from Chris Sale. What do you take about the Red Sox right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think we obviously knew this was going to be one of the toughest teams that they faced. Houston is as complete as they get, and, you know, just from every single aspect. So, I think coming in, the Red Sox knew this was going to be tough, and not really having Sale up to, what he's been in the past, and obviously
not having Mookie in the lineup hurts as well. So, yeah, I mean, this is if you're going to want to make it far in October, which they haven't the past couple years, this is the type of team you're going to have to beat, and they haven't been able to do it so far.
You know, the Red Sox have had a great season so far, and they are arguably one of the top teams, if not the top team in the American League, if not in American League East, but in American League altogether, or if not baseball. But do you think the Red Sox schedule for the past, like May's schedule for the Red Sox was definitely a benefit to them? Do you think that their record shows that their schedule was so soft, or do you think that this team is still, you know, potentially one of the best teams in baseball?
I still think they're a very good team, but yeah, they played Tampa how many times? I think it's almost 10 or so. You know, they played
right.
Baltimore a handful of times,
Toronto.
Obviously Toronto. Yeah, so they've played a lot of, you know, subpar teams. You know, I think that they're still a very good team, but they need to be able to show that they can beat some of these good teams. Now, they've done well against the Yankees, obviously, and that's another one of the really good teams that's out there in the American League. So, I mean, they have beat some good teams, but, you know, I think if I'm putting, you know, ranking teams in my mind right now, Houston just seems so far and above everybody else at this point that, you know, that's kind of the barometer here, you know, in early June. Obviously, things can change. You know, injuries can crop up. But, you know, if the playoffs started today, you'd have to have, you know, Houston as a favorite just because they're just so strong all over. So
Jen, you know, Hanley Ramirez, Blake Swihart, you know, just kind of all those conversations that have come and gone. How is the Red Sox in the clubhouse? Have they settled down and worked through that stuff right now? Or is there still any side banter about, you know, what's been going on with those two specifically?
Yeah, you know, I think initially it was a kind of a little bit of a shock for everyone, you know, especially in the clubhouse with Hanley kind of being gone and, you know, out of the mix so abruptly, you know. But I think that these guys realize that it's, you know, it's a business and kind of any one of them can be gone at any minute. You know, I'm sure most people, and Blake himself even said that he thought he was going to be the one that was going to be, you know, traded away or cut or whatever. You know, when Pedroia came back. But I think also kind of having Pedroia back in the mix, even though, you know, he's been down for the past couple of days, has kind of helped smooth some things over, just because he is one of those more veteran guys that some of the younger guys can kind of lean on a little bit. So, you know, maybe losing Hanley in that sense, you know, as a veteran guy, wasn't as much of a blow, just because you've had Pedroia kind of come back. But, you know, like I said, I think these guys realize that, you know, that it's a business and you know, things are going to happen, you know, at any moment. And they kind of expected somebody that's going to be going to make room for Pedroia. So I don't think it has affected them too much. But, you know, we'll see how things kind of pan out down the road.
I mean, but the Hanley being released, I mean, or being designated for assignment, he was hitting third or fourth the night before it happens. He seemed as if Hanley, I mean, he seemed like he was a great clubhouse guy. I mean, you know, whenever the camera's in the Red Sox dugout, it's Hanley Ramirez doing something goofy with his teammates. You know, he's still a presence in the lineup. I mean, were you shocked? I mean, is this strictly a business move for the Red Sox?
Yeah, I mean, it was a business move, but at the same time, yeah, I don't think anybody wasn't shocked. None of us, you know, and from anything that I read or anybody that I know, you know, that covers the team, none of us were expecting it by any means. So when you saw that kind of came through, you know, Alex Spear was the first one who had it, and then the team announced it shortly after. Yeah, it was pretty surprising, just because, like you said, he's been in the middle of the order, you know, and kind of the type of guy that, you know, a lot of people liked on the team. But, you know, he hadn't been hitting over the last month. They wanted to mix in more of Moreland. They didn't want to let go of Swihart. And I think that kind of shows you how much they value Swihart, if they're willing to kind of, you know, part ways with Hanley for that. And, you know, obviously Hanley had the vesting option at the end of the year that he was likely going to hit. And that meant that the Red Sox would have had to, you know, give him $20 million for next year, $22 million. So I'm sure that factored into things, even though Dombrowski, you know, kind of said that it wasn't a factor. I'm sure that it was. So, I mean, I think, you know, it's not just cut and dry. There's kind of a lot of layers to this that I think went into it. But yeah, I think kind of the biggest takeaway is how much they value Swihart and what he can become.
How about moving forward for the Red Sox? Who do you think is on, you know, their wish list to get to bolster themselves to get to the World Series and hopefully a championship?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it seems like you'd probably need. It's hard to tell right now, just because of, you know, you don't really know what this injury with Mookie is going to be. If this turns into something more severe, which, you know, I think the reason they're taking their time is because they want it to be, they want to make sure he's totally healed and not rush him back and have it become something severe. But say, you know, that is the way things trend, then obviously that's a ginormous hole in your lineup, and you would need to go out and get someone to kind of fill in that spot. So right now, it's kind of hard to say, you know, exactly what they would need. I think that one of the, you know, the bigger things for sure would be some sort of bullpen help. You know, they have some of their key guys with Kelly and Kimbrel, but, you know, the rest of the bullpen is kind of good but not great, and, you know, they're good a lot of times, but when they're not, they're really not. So I think you need another one, at least one more reliable arm. And kind of start from there. And, you know, Dombrowski, you know, never doesn't make a move at the trade deadline. So I'm sure they'll pick up somebody, you know, depending again on the severity of this injury for Mookie. You know, I guess it'll depend on what type of guy they get. But if I had to guess right now in terms of where they would, you know, pick someone up, I feel like they would have to add to the bullpen at this point.
And you mentioned the Mookie Betts injury. I mean, is this kind of secretive with the Red Sox right now? I mean, it was just going to be a day-to-day thing, and then they put him on the 10-day DL. Is that right, the 10-day DL they have him on right now?
Yep, yeah.
So,
well, you know, I think what happened was they were hoping that he'd be able to come back, but it kind of kept lingering. And they labeled it. Initially, they weren't telling us what it was, and I don't understand why they weren't telling us, but we were all assuming it was an oblique thing because they kept just saying the left side, but they termed it when they announced the DL stint an abdominal strain. So that's obviously all related, but it's obviously different from the oblique. So, yeah, it is kind of weird, you know, that it kind of went about it this way, but I really think that they thought that he'd be able to kind of, it would loosen up and he'd be able to get back in there, but I think it just kind of, every day that he kind of came to the park and started taking swings, it kept kind of catching him. And they, you know, that's such a sensitive area, especially when you're swinging the bat every day, how many times a day, for something like that to keep flaring up is troublesome. So, I think that's where they are right now. I'm kind of curious to see, you know, how long this prolongs or if, you know, he's feeling better and they just wanted to, you know, because they're working with a short bench, so maybe add an extra guy into the lineup just to kind of to help and give him those few extra days. He doesn't feel like he needs to rush back, so we'll see how this plays out. But it's definitely, I don't think it's a minor thing. I think it's something that we need to keep an eye on.
We are talking to Red Sox beat writer for The Athletic, Jen McCaffrey, here on Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN. We have a couple minutes left, Jen, but one of the nice stories, I think, for Red Sox fans is that David Price seems to be pitching like David Price at least the last couple times out. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's been one of the nice things that's kind of developed over the past month or so, and obviously that's what you need to see from him. You know, the past couple years have been up and down, and the more consistency that he has on the mound, the better. In the past few times out, he's looked great. So, you know, tonight, if he can produce, you know, the same way, obviously he's got a really tall task with Verlander on the other mound for Houston. But if he can put up a good game for them and give them a chance to win, I mean, that'll give them a boost just considering the way that the series has gone for them.
Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic and soon-to-be Nesson. Red Sox beat writer Jen. Thanks so much for taking the time, buddy. We'll talk to you again down the road. Have fun in Houston.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Have a great
day.
Thanks,
Jen.
Great points. I would like to add to Jen's little commentary. I didn't want to say it on the air because we really like Jen, but the Yankees are 5-2 against Houston. I'm just saying. So when you say, you know, I mean, if you're going to say Houston's the best, I mean, the Yankees are 5-2 against them, Burn. I mean, come on, Jen. Come on. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Okay, I'm just saying. So I want to make sure you got that out there. Red Sox, I mean, you got to be happy they're Sox, though. I mean, you got to be happy. But this Mookie Betts injury is a nervous, got to make you nervous.
Of course. I mean,
he's the best player in baseball right now. I mean, him and Mike Trout are the two. They're at least maybe not best in terms of overall, but they are playing the best in baseball.
Someone you can't afford to have not playing, and you know you've seen what happened when him being out already. Just his leadership and his production, that's hard to make up on a daily basis. And
no, they get Hanley Ramirez back. They could bring him right back. That's weird how that went down.
No, but it really isn't.
How do you hit somebody third and then the next day you cut him?
monetary. It's all about money.
Wow. If you're Hanley, you're just like, wait, what? Like, I was hitting third.
But see, here's the thing. They weren't going to allow him to get enough at-bats to get that $22 million kicker.
I get it.
So now you don't do that. And sometimes his history is when he's not playing, he can become a distraction.
Yeah.
So?
And I can say this. As a Yankee fan, I'm glad he's gone because he murders the Yanks. I mean, he's hitting like 700 against the Yankees. I mean, I know he had a bad month, but
nobody beats the Yankees.
That's not true. Big Papa used to pound the bag out of the Yankees. He used to drive me crazy.
He still does, obviously.
Oh, no. Now, Big Papi, you know, he's kind of growing on me. He was picking the Yankees last play. I mean, he seems to like the Yankees. You know, I mean, I like guys that like the Yankees. I like Big Papi.
That's why you don't like me?
No. I kind of like you. You're a Giants fan, so you're not all bad.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, thank you.
You know, I mean, come on. You're my boy, Bernie.
All right.
You're
all
my
right,
boy.
All right.
Bernie.
Jeffrey, let's stop that.
Oh, my God. I love that. I have got to get that. I got to figure
Bernie,
out.
Bernie.
There it is.
I'm so not happy right now, fellas.
So here's a product for you for the weekend. You got to be able to mix like a really good hip hop beat to that song for Bernie. I got to have that. I got to have me some more cowbell.
I can work on it.
All right, take a quick break. When we come back, it's our favorite segment. Hot or not? Don't go anywhere.
Better turn up the AC, because it's time for Hot or Not, powered by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
I could go for a Superb Cupcake right now. I'm starving like Marvin.
Mm.
Fruit cup didn't do it for you this morning?
No, but they're good again. This is time of year you get a good fruit cup. Look at the size of the cup. This is a remnants of it. It's like a pint glass full of watermelon, grapes. Mandarin oranges this year, too, man. I'm all in. All right.
That sounds great.
You know that. Oh, man. Bernie. That's why there's a song.
Relax now. Relax.
All right. Hot or not, my man. What do we got, Aaron?
All right. Here we go. Hot or not is thanks to Superb Cupcakes. Stop by Superb Cupcakes and Taft's Corner Shopping Center in Williston for the best cupcakes around. They won't disappoint, offering a large variety of regular and mini cupcakes and edible cookie dough daily. They're open every day but Monday. Get them early as hours are subject to change if they sell out.
I love those cupcakes. I'm just telling you.
And how can you go? You can never go wrong with a cupcake.
Well, let me just tell you something. There are cupcake places around that are very average. You can have an average cupcake. At Superb Cupcakes, you don't have an average cupcake. And let me just tell you this. There's a trick to eating cupcakes. You know, I told you this. You take the bottom off it. You put the bottom on top of the cake, on top of the frosting, and you hold it like an Oreo.
But why? Why can't you just eat the bottom of the cake first? And then
I'm just trying to make this smooth, man. You eat a cupcake, it gets messy, it's all over your face, it's falling apart. This way, you don't need the wrapper. You take the wrapper off, you take the bottom off. You know, you got the cupcake top, you put it on top like an Oreo, and adios, baby.
Now, hey, what I want to know is, do they have a cupcake with their edible cookie dough in the middle?
I would guess that they would. They have amazing flavors. I mean, they come up with insane cupcakes. I'm just telling you, if you want to give yourself a treat to get today, head to Taft Corner Shopping Center in Wilson. Get yourself a cupcake at Superb Cupcakes. It's so good, I can't even say it.
You're just tired.
I am tired. It's been a long week. All right, kiddo, what do we got?
All right, number one, despite an atrocious team showing in Game 1 loss, LeBron and the Cavs rally to win Game 2 against the Warriors.
You want this or me first? What do you want, Bernie? What do you want, Bernie? You want me to go first?
You are the king.
Hot. I think they're going to win today. I think they're going to win tonight.
Tomorrow.
Or today, too. They're winning in life, Bernie. I'm just saying. But tomorrow, they're going to win the basketball game. I'm not going to pick against Cleveland anymore. I mean, LeBron finds ways to win. I will say this Golden State team is not the complete team that it was, say, a couple years ago. They definitely have some issues. There's some holes there. Maybe players get a little bit older. Maybe they've been figured out a little bit. But I bet you Cleveland gets this done this week.
Well, first off, this is the fourth year in a row these two teams have played in the finals, right? So just think of how tired these guys must be. They're playing like over 100 games.
Yeah.
And then you count the preseason. They got to be exhausted. But to answer the question, no shot. Golden State blows them out.
Bernie, I'm tired of having them in the finals.
Yeah, I know.
Year.
If you think they're tired, it's tired watching them all every year.
Why? They're the best out there.
You might be right.
They're the best out there.
It's the same matchup, and neither of their offenses are compelling to me, except for what LeBron
Aaron,
James does with
Aaron,
the ball.
Do you feel the same way about seeing the Patriots in the AFC Championship every year?
No, I don't.
Okay,
no.
So I mean, you got to stop.
It's all perspective.
You can't have your cupcake and eat it, too.
Hey, at least the Pats play different teams every year.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right. Don't talk. Okay, that's fine, but listen, the Patriots... I'm going to tell you something. Every time you see Gillette Stadium in the middle of January, it's like, here we go again.
The attendance issues at Patriots OTA should seriously concern Pats fans.
Not. Who cares?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Come on.
Yeah, not.
Like, are you worked up? I want Odell to be Beckham to be at Giants OTAs.
Well, but he's returning.
But he's not there yet.
Well, in terms of OTAs with Odell Beckham Jr., he's been a good soldier. And if this was an Odell Beckham question, I would say yes, it would affect me as a Giants fan and as a Giants organization because he needs to be there. But for the Patriots, well, I mean, what are you worried about?
Wait a second. No, that's a – who cares? Like,
you care because of what Odell Beckham has done.
What has Tom Brady done?
Tom Brady is Tom Brady.
TB12, it's okay for him not to be there – and yes. He gets a pass and...
Only because Tom Brady is Tom Brady. He's established himself. I don't like what Tom Brady's been saying about the coaching staff a little bit. He's kind of been sending some mixed messages out there. But for Odell Beckham Jr.,
for everything
he's done in the past, he needs to start showing the Giant organization, his fans, that he's all into the like New York football
it's
Giant.
It's like meatballs. It just doesn't matter.
What does that even mean? Are you talking about Meatball?
Like, the movie?
I've never seen it. I've never seen meatballs. I love meatballs. See, now I'm so hungry. That's where I'm getting my mom. I want my mom's meatballs. Me. All right, go ahead. What's the next one? See how we do this? We always take everything down to the Giants, don't we?
That's why people don't like us.
Exactly. It ends up there every time, yeah.
There's a lot of reasons people don't like us.
J.R. Smith's game one mistake is the greatest sports screw-up of all time.
I'm going to say not. I mean, I think I'll tell you a few mistakes I think are worse. There's been a couple. There was a World Series game where an umpire blew a call and a out that would have been made. I think that was
Kansas
St. Louis
City.
And Kansas City.
Yes.
There was a perfect game that was thrown almost in Detroit where the umpire, Jim Joyce, called the guy safe when he was clearly out. I think Chris Webber in the national championship game, you know, when they were playing, was it North Carolina and Michigan in that championship game where he called timeout? I would say that it's going to be up there, but in terms of being the worst, I don't know, because at least they had an overtime to go to. If it cost them the game at that moment, like they were down a point, then I would say you could probably talk about that. But because they had an opportunity to go to overtime.
Magic Johnson dribbled it out in the NBA Finals.
Oh, that's right.
To go to overtime.
That's absolutely right.
So, no, this is not even close. And there were 65 other screw-ups, especially in the last minute, that...
But you got to know what the score is, Bernie.
But it's not the greatest screw-up of all time.
It doesn't matter what the screw-up was. You know what that's from, Aaron? Do you know who said that?
The Rock.
The Rock, that's right.
We are losing our minds.
And we're old. If you don't know who The Rock is, if you don't know if I said, it doesn't matter what your name is, you don't know that's The Rock, then we're old.
Is that from his wrestling career?
Yes, man. The Brahma Bull, buddy. Come on.
It doesn't matter. You don't
know. Oh, my goodness. And I was old when that was happening.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Geez. All right, continue. Now I'm depressed.
It's impossible to take someone seriously who storms out of a press conference while wearing suit shorts and carrying a man purse.
That guy can do whatever he wants. I don't care.
Isn't the lead singer from AC/DC do the same thing? Isn't that his suit? Isn't that what he wears when he's singing? I mean, listen, he's LeBron James. He can do it. And quite frankly, if I had a suit, I would like to have a pair of shorts because I like to wear shorts.
And the way he was handled in that press conference, I don't think was right either.
And man purse. I mean, come on, LeBron. Man purse, though.
Well, that's not
a gym bag.
It's a carry-all.
That's not.
Oh, it's a
gym
bag?
No. This was an alligator skin $40,000 man purse.
Alligator skin? You
that
mean
likely
to tell
had
me
nothing in it.
That the social justice hero LeBron James has got an alligator purse? What's going on with him?
That
Peter's
was
gonna
an
be mad.
Alligator skin purse.
Well, listen, I don't know. I love the suit. I'm not into the purse. I'm into the suit, though.
And the question's not. Is it okay for him to do that? Can you take someone seriously dressed like that storming out?
Yes. I think you can. I mean,
I couldn't. I laughed. He leaned over and yelled to the press, "Do better tomorrow." And I was like, "Tell your wardrobe people the same thing, man."
I don't know if you had a suit with shorts. I'm kind of into that. I like that. I do like shorts. You get a little hot, you know, in a suit. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I couldn't take it seriously. Anyway.
Did he have sneakers on or do you have like dress shoes on?
He had like dress boots on. Oh, they were like high top dress shoes.
Man, these guys, they got some style. I have no style, so I'm not going to be getting on anybody for their style. I've got none.
And big square black sunglasses.
The guy can do whatever he wants.
Speaking of style, you probably noticed this t-shirt I have on.
Sure.
JFK Airport, $10. Pretty good score, right? Light blue.
You pay $10 for that?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Little Adidas shirt.
Yeah.
$10. It's a nice looking shirt.
Yeah, okay. Not many people can pull that off.
The charge reversal call decided game one of the finals.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Wow. Hot or not? I'm going to say hot. I think it changed the whole complexity of the last 36 seconds. I think it was awful. I don't like it. I think I'm a conspiracy theorist. And, you know, I agree that then you wonder why, like, LeBron's frustrated. Woo, it was bad. Now, did they get the call right? Maybe, but it's such a bang-bang play. You're checking the restricted area. I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bernie. I think it's hot as well. And I would also say, like, they changed. You're not supposed to change the call. They were looking for the restricted area.
But there's a rule that says if you see something egregious that you put in a couple years ago. I mean, so they covered themselves on that end. Yeah. It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, you know, it's an unfortunate situation, but to say that.
So let's go another step.
Sure.
If it's not Kevin Durant, let's say it's Sean Livingston.
Yeah.
Is that call changed?
That's a great question. I mean, I would say definitely. I don't know. Yeah. Who's to say?
It's
unfortunate. It's tough. But I'm with you, Brian. I think that's Todd as well.
The Brian Colangelo scandal was a brilliant frame job by former 76ers GM Sam Hinkie, who wants his job back.
Yeah, if it is, it is brilliant. But I would say not. I can't imagine him doing that. I mean, I can't imagine him going to that. So basically, if you want to explain the situation here for our listeners who don't know what you're talking
about. It's been discovered on somewhat circumstantial evidence that Brian Colangelo had 5 burner Twitter accounts.
Who is the current GM of this Philadelphia 76ers.
Yes.
Yeah.
They came out against his own players and against his own staff, and they gave confidential information that wasn't public yet.
I just, no way.
If he can't prove that it was his wife or someone else, he'll likely be fired for it.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, first of all, I don't think
Why do you have those many accounts?
Well, what he was trying to do, obviously, was just trying to, he's going after his players, but pretending it was fan base doing it.
Basically letting off steam under false names.
I mean, if you're the GM.
Scream into a pillow.
Yeah, or go just talk to the player. I mean, you're the general manager of the organization. You go deal with the player. I mean, what do you got to do it that way for? So I don't know. That's a crazy story. But I'm going to say not on the conspiracy theorist that the old GM is trying to get his job back. My guess is that if you fire this guy, you're not going to bring the old guy back.
Why not? He was well loved.
Well, maybe I'll change my mind then. What do you got? Hot or not?
That the former GM did it? Not even close.
Okay,
no way.
All right.
I'm hot. I think it's big conspiracy. And by the way, finals are totally being run by the Kardashians. Can you not see Tristan Thompson ejections? And
that was something at the end of that game, huh? I mean, he didn't get suspended. Tristan Thompson's playing.
He better not.
Yeah, he didn't get suspended. I can see why. Draymond Green is just like, when he knows there's a wound, he's putting his finger right
How
in.
How about when he went after Kendrick Perkins at the foul line?
Exactly.
Oh my God, it's great.
Exactly.
His 9-for-11 for 80-yard first CFL start is a huge step towards the NFL for Johnny Manziel.
I'm going to say hot. Why not? I mean, I think everyone's looking for this kid. He's got plenty of talent. If he can keep his head straight and he's playing well enough, absolutely. It's an NFL-driven, it's a quarterback-driven league, the NFL. And if this kid can get the job done, there's no question. And his night last night showed that he can do it.
Not. I need to see more. Need to see more at that level. Good for him that he's having success and dealing with his stuff, but I'm just not ready to go all in.
That's fair. It was only 5 possessions, but 9-of-11 for 80 is still a little bit small.
I'm not saying that he's going to go to the NFL next week, but a step in the right direction.
Correct.
Absolutely. I mean, if he can be Johnny Manziel from the SEC days, he could be a very viable quarterback in the NFL.
Indeed. Computer calculated balls and strikes mean the days of umpires in the MLB are numbered.
Yeah, I'm gonna say not, but I am gonna say this, and I get on umpires and officials all the time because I feel like they're just, I mean, it's been so bad. But I will say that if they ever change and it was a computerized strike zone, I think it would ruin baseball. I mean, you need to have some type of human element in it. So I hope that doesn't happen.
Okay, so in my opinion, it's got to go like this: you either have the computer strike zone and you still have someone there to call bang bang plays at the plate. Because nowadays, everybody's hemming and hawing because they have the strike zone in the dugout.
Yeah.
You see it being, oh, come on. I can't get it. You know. So it's either you got to take away the square or you got to go all in and then just keep the umpires where they are and let them make the plays after the ball is hit.
Yeah, and the other thing about having the ball safe, fine, you can have them there, but even if you can replay everything now so you can't get that wrong. I think baseball has always had a human element to it, and whether you like umpires or not, whether you're disappointed with the call in the game or not, I think you got to keep it that way. And I agree with you, Bernie. If you want to stop all the criticism, that way it'll at least make the game more interesting. People can come out and yell and scream again.
And it'll be faster.
Yeah, I agree. I hope it doesn't go that way, though. That would be a sad. And I think that would be
sad. You know what's going to happen? You watch Johnny Manziel to the Jets.
Ooh. What are you talking about, Johnny Manziel? They just drafted their guy.
Oh, don't you worry.
Johnny Manziel to the Patriots when Brady retires. What do you think of that?
That one's interesting.
Marinate on that one.
I'm saying Bills. I'm saying they're going to watch their boy, what's his name, flop. Josh Allen, watch him flop, and then they're going to go get Johnny Manziel.
Or Eli retires. Here comes Johnny Manziel. Johnny Ballgame to the New York Football Giants. Ooh. All right, that's Hot or Not, baby. Another good one this week. I'll tell you what, some of those Hot or Nots, you and I could have debated a little bit longer. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right.
That's okay.
Take a quick break. When we come back, we tie a bow on this show. Thank goodness. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
I mean, I'm not as tall and I don't have the hair and I'm not good looking, but I mean, other than that, Tom Brady and I are a lot alike.
And Bernie Siplicki.
No.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Hill dips, free throw up, free throw's going to be short, rebounded by Smith, 2 seconds to go, he dribbles out, they got a foul, they can't get him, the Cavaliers on the road, stunning the Golden State Warriors in game one, tied at 107, my bad, tied at 107.
Oopsies.
Whoops. Can you imagine being like a Cleveland Cavalier fan, you're just getting off an airplane or something, you get in the car to put the game on, and you hear that, and you're like, yeah, oh, it's like listening to a Yankee game being called by John Sterling, he does that all the time.
It was a radio broadcast, too, specifically. So, everyone listening to that, they're not watching the game.
J.R. Smith is, he's probably a good poker player because he fooled everybody.
But again, call the lane violation, make a free throw. Cavaliers should be up 1-0.
Yeah, and they should. And, this game
cements LeBron when they win the title as the greatest of all time.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. But I will say this, losing this game, this could be a sweep now. Truth be told, I think they're going to win tomorrow, but this could be a sweep.
I believe. Wait. You think they're going to win tomorrow?
It could be. Let me tell you, I'm not Nostradamus. I'm just saying,
you're hedging your bet both ways. What's it going to be? Is Cleveland winning tomorrow or is it a sweep?
I think they're going to win tomorrow.
Okay, so it's not going to be a sweep.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it was a sweep. That's what I'm saying.
I could also see either team winning in 4, 5, 6, or 7.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. I could see Cleveland winning in 5, 6, or 7. I mean, come on.
I'm just saying that a loss like that, when the opportunity is right in front of you, and not even the J.R. Smith mistake, but by him missing that free throw, those are the kind of things that sink teams. And again, a Cleveland team that's got to almost be perfect to win this thing.
I still think Cleveland might have a small shot because of the way they dominated the backboard. They really took advantage of their size inside. And if they can continue to do that, they got a chance.
Well, listen, they definitely do. And who's going to bet against them? And nobody seems to be able to – there's no matchup for LeBron James in today's NBA. There just isn't one. So you can't imagine that he's not going to get the thing done eventually. And I think they're going to win tomorrow. But I could see where it could be a sweep as well.
It's unbelievable.
I've got my bases covered.
Hey, no kidding.
I want to thank Pete Caldera, Bergen Record, our Yankee beat writer. I had some good talks with him about the New York Yankees. The Yankees who now are still a half game behind the Red Sox, but have a game today if they play. It's supposed to be another thunderstorm. The Yankees have to have like 10 doubleheaders in the next 2 months. Crazy stuff. Had a great chat with Tim Albertson, CVU Baseball. Check him out today. They're playing today at 4 o'clock at CVU, taking on St. Johnsbury, the number one seed. Regardless of whether you're rooting for CVU or you're rooting for anybody, if you're in a city or a town that has an opportunity that's still in the playoffs, go watch these games. It's going to be a beautiful game, beautiful day.
Yep,
kids are working hard.
And there's a state track meets going on around all over Chittenden County right now at Burlington and South Burlington as well.
And that one at Burlington is awesome. I told you we were flying in from New York, going over to Burlington and seeing that field. It's beautiful. The flight in was awesome. I mean, it was like one of the best parts of the trip. Minus Aaron Judge hitting Jamie in the side with the
that
baseball.
That would be the best part, right?
Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic, our friend, the Sox beat writer. Interesting perspective on the Red Sox. Mookie Betts' injury's got to be a little concerning. There's not much information there.
Not a lot of information, so, handling it with kid gloves. Hopefully he bounces back.
Yeah.
Because they need him.
they definitely do need him. He's one of the best in baseball, if not the best in baseball. It'll be interesting to see. They play today, and you can hear it tonight, starting at 6:30 here on 101.3 ESPN. The Red Sox are at Houston. Red Sox trying to stop a two-game losing streak. Houston is trying to win the third game in a row of that series in the four-game series. Guys, we are Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN. For Bernie Siplicki, our buddy Aaron, who's the DJ over there mixing the hot beats, and myself, Jeff Paul. What, do you want to say something because of the hot beats or something? You got something to say?
No, no. I want to shout out my sister, Riley Wells, who is competing in the track championships today. She's doing the long jump.
Go get them, Riley. So two big athletes in your family, because you were the big football player, and she's a big track star.
And her and Grace are both big track stars. Grace is ridiculously fast.
Jeez, you got some family lineage.
I'm like number three on the list of athletes.
Number three? Well,
yeah.
Go get them. Is she running for CVU?
Yeah.
All right, go get them today, Riley. All right, guys, listen, have a great weekend. Be safe. It's going to be beautiful. We're listening to 101.3 ESPN. We'll be here next Saturday for Sports Saturday. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.